It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
It's a good life. Well, you know, actually, it's a great life. And there's no greater life than knowing Jesus as our Savior. It's going to be even greater when we see Him personally. The Bible teaches us that one day those of us who are alive shall be caught up into the clouds with the Lord when He comes back and says, "Come up hither." And of course, those who have gone before us, they're with the Lord right now, and they're waiting for us. And when He says, "Come up hither," we who are alive will be changed. Our vile bodies will be changed, and we'll have a new body fashioned like our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great life it is to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, and what a great life it's going to be with Him forever. Well, today we continue our study in the New Testament. And right now I'd like for us to look in the book of Ephesians. Once again, I remind you, we're not going in depth in these books in the studies we're doing. What I'm trying to do is give us an overview so we can think our way through the New Testament. I'm not going to hit everything in these books. I'm not going to expound on these books. I'm simply going to give you some high points, some background and so forth on the books. Well, speaking of backgrounds, let me give you some background on the book of Ephesians. We look at this and we see that the author was Paul the Apostle, who had preached the gospel in Ephesus for over 2 years, influencing all Asia. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God." Well, he's saying that he's the one who wrote this book. He's writing this to the Ephesians. Keep in mind now that he's a penman. This scripture is by the inspiration of God. God is the author, and this is the Word of God that we're studying. Paul goes on to say here, "To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Now I would remind you that he's not only writing to the church at Ephesus, but he's writing to you and me. He says in verse 1 there of the Ephesians chapter 1, and to be faithful in Christ Jesus. In other words, those people who are saved. Now, if you're saved today, you can take to heart and you can listen to the words of Paul the Apostle under the inspiration of God as he was penning down and writing these things to the church at Ephesus. You can take heart today. We can take those things to our heart as well and follow his admonitions that he is giving them to the church at Ephesus. Well, the date for the writing of this is during Paul's final imprisonment in Rome. He's awaiting death. This would be approximately A.D. 62 or 63. And the setting, as Paul wrote to the church to be what God wanted them to be, he wanted them to be certain things, he wanted them to be a certain way. He wants these people to understand that this is written to Jew and Gentiles to be united in one body. Well, the key verses here in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, I would call your attention especially to verses 6 and 12 and 14. Verse 6 says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Or verse 12 says, "That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ." And verse 14 says, "Which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." Until the redemption. We have been redeemed, but it isn't complete yet. We will be transformed, as I said earlier. We're going to receive a new body. We're going to be transformed into glory when he comes back for us. That's for us for who are saved. We will be transformed. The redemption of this old sinful body will be complete. The body will be changed and we'll be with the Lord forever. Now, the purpose of the book, and there are several things we can look at here, but we know that it was to show the Ephesian church their blessings in Christ are not just for themselves. Their blessings in Christ are for the higher purpose of bringing praise to the glory of his grace through through both Jews and Gentiles, and united as God's children in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5 talks about that. Well, the purpose is also to accomplish, once again, the purpose for which the letter was written to them. It was to accomplish this purpose. They needed to grow in certain things. Their understanding needed to grow in what God had done in Jesus and in the believers. Chapter 1, verses 15 through chapter 2 and verse 10 talks about this. And let me say that the Bible is given for our admonition that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study the scriptures. And Paul talks about this throughout the writings that God has given him under his inspiration, under God's inspiration. Chapter 1, verse 17 through 23 of Ephesians. Let's read that. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Well, Paul wrote the book of Ephesians to the church at Ephesus because they needed to understand what God had done in Jesus and in all believers. Notice something else. These people needed to grow in the practical knowledge of the unity of Jewish and Gentile believers. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through chapter 3 and verse 13 talk about that. And in Ephesians chapter 2, let's read a couple of verses starting with verse 11 there. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see, we're all one. And Paul is trying to tell us, and tell the Jewish and Gentile believers there in Ephesus, that those who have trusted Christ are one through the blood of Jesus Christ. They also needed not only to have their understanding enlightened, they needed to know these things. They needed to grow in a practical knowledge of unity. And their knowledge of the working of the love needed to grow as well. They needed to love. As we read about that in chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, about how that practical knowledge of unity, they need to be united. Well, in verse 17 of that chapter, it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. They needed to grow in love, and so do we today, who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand that we are in one body. We are one body in Christ, that is the church, those people who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Might I add here, if you do not belong to a local Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church, you need to belong to that church who's standing upon the Word of God. And I believe they need to be standing on the Word of God, which is the King James Bible. The King James Bible does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And we need to stand upon the book that God has given us to read and to grow thereby. On chapter 4, verses 4 through 16, we're going to read a couple of verses there. It says in verse 4 of chapter 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. Well, there's only one body. We are not separated. Whether you are Jew or Gentile, we are all saved the same way, and that is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to bring praise to Christ today, according to Ephesians chapter 4, and verses 17 through 24 talks about that. In the first part of that chapter, verse 17, now notice this, in verse 17, it says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." You see, we need to live for the Lord today. And verse 21 says, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Verse 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And this is what Paul is saying. This is what God is saying to that church and to us today. These people, as well as us, these people needed to praise God in submitting themselves to one another. Well, this is hard to do sometimes. And when someone despitefully uses us, we need to pray for that person, and we need to submit ourselves to each person in the body of Christ in love. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Ephesians 5:21 says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Well, there are many things we can look at today concerning these things that we've spoken of. And these people in Ephesus, they needed to submit themselves to love. And this is something that you and I need to submit ourselves to with each other. We need to love each other. No matter what we think and what we think we know about the other person, we need to love each other in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14 tells us about putting Christ first, and we are blessed through Jesus Christ. And verse 14, chapter 1, "which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." See, God is true, and there are no valid barriers between believers, according to the book of Ephesians. No racial barrier, no ethnic, no social barrier, no financial, no intellectual barrier. We're all one in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way to heaven, according to John chapter 14 and verse 6. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." That's you if you've never trusted Jesus. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned." That's all. That's you. Romans 6:23 also says, "The wages of sin is death." Romans 6:23 says, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's a gift. It's free. All you've got to do is trust Jesus Christ. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever, that's you. Admit you are a sinner. Admit that you can't save yourself. You cannot go to heaven the way you are. You cannot go without Jesus Christ. Christ died for you, and he wants to take you to heaven. Pray something like this: "Jesus, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you are the Son of God. As best as I know how, I receive you as my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.